Welcome back from that sultry break.
No, that was nice music.
How are you guys
doing? Did you light the candles?
Yeah, underneath.
I just feel like sexier right now. Speaking of sexy, we got Francis, we got Kim.
Hi.
Hi.
And I'm Brett Ehrlich, and welcome to the second hour, a couple business elements. Member shout outs today, Andrew Jackson, way to be on the money, literally. And then also that name, that's great. I knew a guy named Andrew Jackson growing up. I also know another guy named Michael Jackson. It's very, like, you know, good for them.
It's a good name.
And David Svensson, congratulations on getting the member shout outs today, according to the iPad. And then also, members are the backbone of TYT. We have lots of new membership options and perks. Go to tytnetwork.com/join to become a member right now. Lots of extra goodies.
They've got that the new show that
we were on yesterday,
the All-Star Tuesdays.
All-Star Tuesdays, how was that?
It was All-Star-esque. Yeah. We had rings that they gave us, by the way.
Dave Kohler talked a lot about South America.
Yeah.
Really?
Like a lot.
We kind of ripped down the whole, we discussed a lot about Chile's economy and the myth of Pinochet's dream economy that he built, and then I kind of get into blaming the United States, like I usually do.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to just kind of throw you under the bus.
We did a lot in South America.
In Chile.
I don't like that guy. It's like a dictator. You get a dictator.
You get in, and you come in.
Wow. Anything you guys want to... But that All-Star show, you guys, the beginning of it is free to people, and then if they like
it... First 15 minutes are free, then you got to be a member.
Yeah.
To see the rest of it.
But with that discussion, it sounds like it would be amazing.
That was the whole idea, is get Dave to lure them in so that he's wrought out. And he caught a few, and then he's like, come back in. You need to see the rest of this 30 minutes later.
I'm going to become a member just to do that, exactly. Like Andrew Jackson and David Svensson. we have a lot to talk about. We've got Nelly. We've got a very brave boy in Mexico taking a stand against hordes of people. And we also have reports on how toy companies are watching your children on the internet. Very strange, very enticing. Stay tuned the whole time. Let's get into it right now. We take you to Mexico. There is a new image coming out from a protest put on by pro-family forces. As the nation of Mexico gets more friendly to same-sex marriage, protesters have stepped forward to step up against it. And one kid said, I've had enough. Let's take this photo. This is one kid who is protesting the protesters. That whole group is standing up for what they call pro-family values, which is against gay marriage. And this child said, no, I want to stop it. Now, a reporter thought maybe this kid just wanted to stop a parade. Maybe he's just randomly walking out there, putting his arms out. What a powerful image. Mm-hmm. But Manuel Rodriguez, a journalist, says, at first I thought the child was only playing. But when Rodriguez later interviewed the child, he told the reporter, I have an uncle who is gay, and I hate hatred. Right now 9 states in Mexico have legalized gay marriage, including the federal district. And then I put together a list of countries where it is legal in all or part of. Okay, well, we'll get to that. But look at that. That's a lot of countries, including the United States. Way to go. You saw this image. What was your first response to it?
It's great. He's so young and he's so brave. It really evokes the image from 1989 in Tiananmen Square, I think, where there's someone standing up to a tank, like standing in the way of the tank. It's not exactly the same, I know. But it does show someone being very brave in the face of overwhelming force or overwhelming hatred, really. And this kid's only 12. When I think of when I was 12, there's no way I would have done this. I don't know if I'd have the balls to do it now. So it's so great that he stood up like that. I mean, think about what you were like as a kid, or anyone, what they were like as a kid. You live in this, you know, in school, you feel such a pressure to fit in, to do what everyone else is doing, to be what everyone else is like. You have to have this certain kind of look. You have to talk a certain way. And then there's also, think about also being a kid. At what point did you realize some adults are just full of shit? I realized way later than that child, so good on him.
Mm-hmm. And you brought up the list, Brett, and I looked at it in the other way. I mean, I looked at it as a reminder that often we focus on this discussion within the United States and how certain states are still so backwards, right? And they won't move with their views towards the LGBT community. And there's around 72 countries, I believe, that still have laws against those in the LGBT community. And this is a harsh reminder. And that image Although it was so powerful, as we know, like, there's nothing more powerful than innocence. And when innocence is faced in front of hatred, it just reminds you that hatred's taught. Like, it's not, you're not born with it. You're not born suddenly hating a certain group or anyone else. And when it takes a 12-year-old who his mind is still absorbing everything around him, he's still taking into account all these things that are going on in this world, and his first instinct is to love another person, regardless of their race, regardless of what their preference is, just to love that person like he loves his uncle, regardless of what his uncle's preferences are. And he wants to stand against people that don't see other people in that way, that see other people influencing their life, when it's a redundant argument. It's medieval, and it still plagues many different countries where they will hold, again, medieval laws and different views that will hold people from doing what they want to do and allowing people the freedom to pursue what they want to do. And images like this, as much as it just looks like an image and people are like, well, how is that going to change? Like, images like that are so powerful, are so transcendent. And that image we will consistently see shared across the internet, will be shared across the world. I'm positive in saying that 5-10 years from now, when we look back, if Mexico changes and more states become open to this, that image will be the one that's at the forefront, because it is innocent that is standing in the way of hatred.
Right, and to call it like family values first, like, you know, Frente Nacional por la Familia, it's like the National Front for the Family, I assume. That kid is showing what I think is an even stronger family value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be the family value, you know, bear the banner of family values and then say, like, I'm saying this is only okay for certain families.
Yeah.
And then another aspect of it, when you mentioned the Tiananmen Square thing, you did point out it was different. And I thought, like, what, in what way is it different? And what I love about this, the difference in this one, is, you know, all those people who are walking for the family against a child who just wants his uncle to have rights, they're losing. Those people are losing. The tide in Mexico, you know, from what I researched, it's legal in the federal district. It's legal in 9 of the 31 states. That tide is turning, and these people are stepping out. Now, kudos to the people who are in the parade as well for finding, if not something that is fully loving, then at least something that's peaceful, a peaceful way to protest. Mm-hmm. So if I'm grading them on, like, a scale of, like, worst to the best, like, this isn't the worst way that they could be communicating this.
No.
There could be a lot more violent ways to do it, but the power of a picture is just absolutely stunning. And you don't even see the kid's face.
I hope one day it becomes like the iconic picture of the sailor kissing the nurse after the end of World War II, where we have this kid come out and we immortalize him. Because you're right, hate is not a family value. You never teach kids in family movies or what have you, you know, let's learn about hate. Yeah. These people are different. Screw them.
Yeah, the only hate that came up in my family was, like, hatred of rival universities. Like, I hated the Trojans growing up.
I hate the Trojans now.
That's weird. That's really the only time you can hate someone based on where they were born is in sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Glasgow is very, very much split into two sides, where you're either the green side, which thankfully this weekend I never thought it would make it onto the main show of TYT, but Celtic happened to win 5-1 to the other side of blue. But that's where hatred is. It's prominent for like 90 minutes. And unfortunately, it has ties elsewhere, which I'm not going to get into. But you're absolutely right. And the thing that I wanted to remind, look, I think it kind of ties into the first point you said, Kim, is like, when you're a kid, you're sometimes like, adults don't always make the most sense. When you're a kid, you almost feel like you're just not being listened to. And then they will tell you, like, you're going to grow up and you're going to realize things. I want this kid's values when it comes to this to never grow up. Because he understands that the most important thing is the thing that people will try to push towards him. No, you got to think that way. You got to think this way. He's thinking based solely on what his main tie to humanity is. I love people. And that's it.
Yeah. We can grow up by acting like a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Straight to things.
Let's move on to the next one, shall we? You may not know this, but certain toy companies have been monitoring your children. There has been a settlement between the government and some companies that run websites for children toy manufacturers and other children's focused companies like Nick Jr. The companies that run those websites have gotten in trouble because it has come to light that they have been using software that monitors children's activities in an attempt to advertise to them. Now, we have a familiarity with this during, you know, the Christmas shopping season. If you go look up whatever thing you're going to buy as a present, pretty soon everywhere you go on the internet, that same present shows up on the side. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't do that when the people you're monitoring are under the age of 13. Companies that operate, according to this quote from USA Today, companies that operate popular kids' websites like NickJr.com and Barbie.com agreed to an $835,000 settlement and to change their, change after an investigation found that sites were enabled with technology to track kids' internet activities, which means, according to this next graphic, Barbie is watching your children. That's right. The companies are Mattel, Viacom, Hasbro, and Jumpstart Games. Those companies, Viacom, here are the totals, the scoreboard. Viacom will pay $500,000, Mattel will pay $250,000, and Jumpstart will pay $85,000. And the response from someone like Hasbro is, "We are rolling out a new stricter online privacy protection policy for our partners and enacting new protocols and technology to scan our digital properties for any cookies, widgets, or other silly named applications that may violate our policy." So yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I get it though. I mean, the advertising to children has changed a lot. Especially in this age where we have cord cutting, we have on-demand streaming services. According to Extremist, Netflix saves kids from 150 hours of commercials a year. Mm. So if kids aren't being reached in that same way, another statistic, in May 2015, the Bernstein Research Audience Tracker says that year over year, children's viewership drops 22% on standard regular television. So they have to find other ways to get the children to buy the stuff. A lot of kids who watch, you know, maybe only Netflix, and granted, Netflix does have shows that are now like Voltron and whatever, MGA Entertainment, which makes the Bratz dolls, coming up, but they have to find new strategies to reach out to children. And this seems like one that they would naturally go as consuming media develops and becomes more technological.
What you got to do is you got to launch a brand new show that just takes the world by storm and all. It's a little scary for kids. Stranger Things, you got to do is you got to just hit them with Eggos. Eggos, Eggos, Eggos. I guarantee those that didn't buy through an ad like this will go out and buy Eggos. I think there actually was a study that Eggos took a massive rise after 11 in Stranger Things. If you haven't seen it, you got to check it out. And what they were definitely
the
buying
that.
The
power of suggestion is crazy.
Yeah, we actually talked about this on the All Star Tuesdays. Well, everyone's going to find a way to monetize something. It was an ad. There was a story that Kim brought up, and it was really funny because ad blocker were actually running ads. So it's like,
oh wow,
ad blocker is selling ads.
Yeah, as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like it's
that's
like
amazing.
And it reminded me of a little old saying that Joey Tribbiani had in Friends, well, there's no such thing as a selfless good deed. Anyone who you think is out there to provide a service to you, whether it's providing ad blocks so that you don't get hit with all those ads, there's going to come a point when they're like, damn, I need to make some money. How do I possibly make some money when it comes to this? So this isn't surprising when it comes to children's sites that they're going to try and find a way to target. And I mean, it's not something that's completely new to us. There's another article that was ran in Consumerist about how Facebook opens up just a little bit about the ways that they're tracking you. And I know there's obviously age limitations, but how can they monitor every single person, whether someone's using someone else's Facebook? They're going to monitor your cookies. They're going to monitor every single page you like, every single thing that you step
on. Absolutely, third parties all over the place.
The third-party search engine is going to continuously push products to you until it comes to the point you're overwhelmed.
Here's the thing, is in other laws, when you're talking about how it affects children and how children shouldn't be susceptible to these kinds of things, I don't think it really bears out logically the same way here. Like, when it's like, the argument is, that's illegal for children because children don't know any better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is legal for adults, but I still don't know any better. I don't know how to avoid being tracked this way. Like, children shouldn't be solicited, like, for, you know, illicit acts by adults because they're not mature enough to figure that out, mm-hmm. To catch a predator. Yes, that children, you shouldn't be able to have sex with a minor. But, like, I'm still a child when it comes to figuring out how not to be monitored by these agencies to get to market to me.
Yeah.
So it feels like if this kind of thing is illegal for children, it should be illegal for adults.
I don't know.
I'll help you with that later.
Yeah, so I can do it. So we have to have a separate video where you teach me how to not be marketed to by my internet traffic just because it always ruins Christmas when I'm trying to buy something for my girlfriend. It's like, oh, that thing, all you see down the side of my browser is whatever I was going to buy her. Probably something pretty expensive because
you're a great boy.
I'm such a good boyfriend.
The thing about advertising, like when I was actually involved in some of the advertising when it came to TYT before, and I mean, one thing that you get taught in school when you're learning about advertising, it's all about planting the seed. It's so annoying at that moment, right? When you're scrolling, get that away. I don't want to think about it. These are, why am I getting sold all these things to deal with Valentine's Day? It's months in advance. But then when it comes to Valentine's Day, and you're like, damn it, it's 2 hours to go and I haven't got a gift. What pops up in your head? It's about planting that seed is something that you've observed without really taking it in. And the same thing can be said about kids when it comes down to Christmas time. I don't know what super parents are out there that always know what their kid wants, but most of the time it's the kids that are being like, Mom, Dad, I want this because I seen this somewhere. So there's always going to be a way to appeal to kids to go and buy something. So it's, if you're going to target this, then like, what's the difference between targeting advertisements that run during these shows?
Well, that's not necessarily right either.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it.
To kids.
I want to say something about the Stranger Things. So Stranger Things, it's a show on Netflix. They put Eggo waffles in it and people are like, oh, I should eat those again. Yeah. there's a the best example of that is a film called Mac and Me. So, you know, everyone in E.T. started and he ate Reese's Pieces and people just wanted to eat Reese's Pieces because it was the best thing. McDonald's was like, okay, we need to do that. Let's do that with a movie about an alien named Mac.
It's so bad.
And it's so bad that every time Paul Rudd goes on a talk show.
He goes on Conan.
He promises. It's a, I'm going to show you a clip from my new movie, but it's always.
It's the wheelchair scene.
Clip of Mac and Me. It's so ridiculous. This kid, you gotta look at it. This kid just.
Please cut it into this clip later.
He runs out, he's in a wheelchair, and it's just so bad. And the mask for the alien is so terrible. He can't move his lips. It's just someone in a mask like this.
Oh,
you need to watch Mac and Me so bad.
But yeah. It is run by McDonald's. It was funded by McDonald's, right?
Funded by McDonald's.
And there's like a scene where they're having like a dance battle in a McDonald's.
There's a dance battle in this alien movie.
Like you do.
A dance battle. So good. Oh, it's so great. So that's it. Any final thoughts on that you guys want to go through?
Well, I mean,
eat more Eggos.
Sure. With the way that we consume media, kids don't necessarily know what the cool toys are, what they're supposed to have. And you know how susceptible even adults are. So it's just, I get that they're evolving their strategy to make this work, and sometimes laws don't necessarily evolve with them.
Yeah.
Still not good.
It's, yeah, Saturday morning cartoons told me exactly what to buy when I was a kid, what kind, what flavor of Go-Gurt to ingest. And kids are without that now, so maybe they do need to be monitored by Nick Jr. All right, moving on. It's getting hot in here, so start streaming Nelly music.
What?
So Nelly, who you're familiar with if you were born before the year, I want to say 2004. Nelly did the song It's Getting Hot in Here, So Take Off All Your Clothes, and a number of others with the St. Lunatics. According to the St. Louis Business Journal, the IRS recently filed a $2.4 million tax lien against the Hot and Her rapper in St. Charles County, Missouri. Nelly, born Cornell Hayes Jr., also reportedly owes Missouri nearly $150,000 and faces a more than $51,000 tax lien in California. So people are saying, let's stream his music enough times so that the royalties from that pay for his tax liens. And it was reported in Spin Magazine, I believe, that fans would need to stream Hot in Here on Spotify at least 287,176,547 times. And the response has been amazing. People like Jim Jar Jarmusch, which is a great name, said, pro tip, turn your phone on to mute and put on Hot in Here while you sleep. 7 hours of sleep equals 110 plays. Hashtag Hot in Here streaming party. And Sriracha Squad Dad says, if you don't support Hot in Here streaming party, I don't support you. And if anyone knows about it being hot in here, it's a Sriracha Squad Dad, because he's committed his life to heat, if only in Sriracha sauce. This is my favorite story I've seen in a long time.
I did a little research, actually.
Bring it.
Okay, so Spotify reports that their payout for artists per stream is between 0.06 and 0.84 of a cent. So this estimation from Spin Magazine is if he's on the higher end. if he's on the minimum end of the scale, he will need 402,880,500 plays, which is significantly more. I'm not an existentialist, and I'm not saying don't try, but it could be even harder than you think it is.
We could buy his album, probably.
We could do that. That might make more money.
Am I the only one that's going to rain on the parade? Did I forget my coffee this morning or something? Like, there's many things that really riles me up, right? Talking about gun laws in America is something that I hate talking about because it gets me really mad. But other than that, it's those that come into positions of fame and obtain a huge amount of wealth and then don't know how to manage their money, right?
Yeah.
And end up going into get into circumstances. And I'm not saying that Nelly hasn't managed his money. I mean, I think it's just it's came up that he has a massive tax debt that, according to rumors, has to pay off, whether he's got the money or not for it. It's just the fact is that it's like people now are coming out to, like, one tweet I remember seeing is like, I can't even pay my own bills, and now Nelly's relying on me to stream music so I can help pay off his tax debt. And it's something that is so prominent as we see today. Like, remember we did a story on 50 Cent, who is bankrupt, right? Because
yeah.
He went through stages of not being able to manage his money. And I've always looked at the thing as like, you obviously get the opportunity to do something you love, make a great amount of money in doing it. But the idea is the myth, it's like, as soon as you do that, the work is done. Whereas I've always kind of followed Shaq's mentality of things, right? The guy who spent his first million in 30 minutes after obtaining it, right? But when you listen to Shaq's story, I'm telling you, if you haven't read up on what Shaq has done, he's an amazing character, right? Because he actually went back to school and learned business. Like, the guy went through a huge amount of turmoil early on where he was like, if you're going to go this way, his manager told him, you're going to end up broke. You're going to be one of those athletes that are broke. And now, to this day, Shaq is a joint owner of 155 Five Guys, 17 Auntie Annie's pretzel restaurants, 150 car washes, 40 24-hour fitness centers, a shopping center, a movie theater, and several Las Vegas nightclubs, as well as being, I think, some sort of police official in Miami. And he still earns around $22 million a year on his endorsements. That's managing money, keeping it moving rather than relying on it.
I feel like there's tons of stories of athletes who burn through their money and because there's people that are just taking. But there's a story, Toni Braxton. Toni Braxton declared bankruptcy twice. She, on her first record, according to one of the reports I read, I think from Time magazine, Toni Braxton made $170 million in sales off her first record contract. That's how much they got. She said her royalties were $1,972.
Wow.
The music industry is notorious for screwing you over intensely from the moment you sign your contract, because you as an artist have to pay back all the expenses that they put into building your brand. Mm-hmm. And then later you can go and change your tune. Tom Petty declared bankruptcy because his record label sold him essentially to another record label, and he's like, I'm not going to go through that. He used bankruptcy to get out of it. Tom Petty, who has his own channel on Sirius Radio. Like, these are big names that just don't get the kind of royalties in the music industry that you'll see from people who are guaranteed, you know, from their sports contracts, $20 million. It's harder.
And I understand that completely. Nelly is obviously one of those cases that he's transferred over. I remember him starring in that fantastic role in what was the movie that he was in with Adam Sandler, where he played the wide receiver in the prison movie where they had
the longest yard.
So he's obviously a movie star there as well. I'm just saying, I don't even know the full details whether or not Nelly couldn't manage his money. I completely understand in the music industry, it's kind of its own specific animal where there is take. I think that more people are becoming aware of it now if they move into that entertainment industry and you move into in coming into money, that you have to understand to manage it. Like, I remember I read some books recently that was talking about how the average like millionaire who is able to obtain wealth and whatever it is doesn't rely on less than 7 separate sources of income. And that is just education.
Yeah.
If you think you can rely on the money that you've obtained, then you won't need to rely on certain instances where people are going to go forward and push tax fraud on you from trying to mismanage your money in certain ways. And that's why an unlikely hero of mine will be Shaquille O'Neal. I'm going to follow in his footsteps.
I love him. I love Shaq.
Have you been in a commercial with Shaquille O'Neal?
You know, I was waiting for someone to
Were
say
you
it.
On a commercial with Shaquille O'Neal?
But you know,
yes,
I did
that
remind
he,
I know.
That he directed.
Because Francis works his ass off. I'll say that.
And then when you do that, you manage the money so that you're not relying on that Is it something you need to fall back on?
As an example of how, you know, saturated in the market and in licensing his name, Shaquille O'Neal is, and how wily an investor, I have a slot machine game on my phone.
Oh, no.
And one of the games you can play is Caddyshack with a Q. And it's Shaquille O'Neal. He dances. Oh, he's like, Caddyshack. And the quest you go on is Shaqusta, like Augusta. It's
Wait,
Shaqusta.
Yeah.
Can you do some more Shaq impressions?
Yeah, that's
Caddyshack. Yeah, no, it's like, yeah, it's like a inside the NBA. Like, Kenny, that's stupid. That's Charles. And then it's like, what do you think, Shaq? And Shaq's just like, oh.
Did you ever see, remember they were going through that stage where they were talking about putting the endorsements on the basketball uniform,
yeah,
right? And then they, on Inside the NBA, they were like, all right, what endorsements would be on which commentator? And I remember Charles Barkley had like two or three, and then the other analyst had like three, and Shaq was covered. Head to toe. Like the
so
guy
smart.
Has so many separate sources of income.
One last thing. I want to quiz you guys all as right. to okay. your knowledge. So Cornell is Nelly's name.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you a given name of a rapper. And you tell me what rapper or music artist.
I don't know music.
Curtis Jackson.
50
that's
Cent.
50 Cent.
50 Cent. O'Shea Jackson Jr. No, that's the senior.
That's Ice.
Ice Cube's.
Cube, it's Cube. Junior is his son. Calvin Brodus.
That's Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
My parents' neighbor.
No that's, way.
Yeah.
Nice. No way is that. No,
and finally, Onika Minaj. Onika Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
Huh.
That was really good.
Got it.
All right, we're going to take a little break. Give us your thoughts. In the meantime, tweet at us, and we'll read some when we come back on the other side. We'll see you in a few. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a pleasant and restful break. during that, I learned it's Jesus' birthday.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Jesus!
It's Christmas.
So Woo-hoo! Good. He's doing this. Like an old lady. Just one bingo.
Just picture that old lady winning bingo.
He loves it. That's what that symbol means.
Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, so that's that. Happy birthday to Jesus. We got some people who have tweeted in, like Sandra O, who wrote, I'm so effing sick of family values, quote unquote. It's almost a code word for intolerance.
Yeah.
I very much agree. George T. writes, that kid is a superstar, Tiananmen Square Redux. Look to your future, Mexico, stop the hatred. In regards to the child monitoring on you know, toy websites, Baked Slice Mahoney, who incidentally has a great name, wrote, advertising to children isn't the problem. Tracking and monitoring their every move, however, is creepy, effing creepy. Barbie, like Barbie was in. And then your mama says, if you're streaming hot in here for any reason, there's something wrong with you. Well, you know what?
Sometimes it's hot.
And
where,
someone
though?
Needs, I like.
Someone needs to take off their clothes.
What's wrong? You're my mama. You're supposed to support me. That's not okay. So any thoughts during the break? Any giant revelations, true stories of adventure?
We thought that Nelly should license Band-Aids to make more money to pay off his debt.
Remember that fashion disaster?
Pointless Band-Aid?
Love it. I
Bandage.
Miss it.
Band-Aid is a brand.
That's true. Like Xerox. And you would Xerox something. There's a word for that. All right, let's get into it, shall we? You may have seen the story about how back in the day, Harvard scientists were paid a large amount of money to, according to them, suppress the results on how related to certain health problems sugar is, and instead were told to focus the attacks on fat in the diet. This was a big story yesterday, I want to say, mm-hmm. but if you've seen certain documentaries that have come out over the last few years, you know the story. Money goes into certain research, and that research ends up being influenced by the people who are providing the money.
Mm.
Well, there's a great article that we read that pointed out four other instances where this went down in the past, and it's high time that you know about it. First off, Coca-Cola's anti-obesity initiative. They put $1.5 million to a donation to start the nonprofit Global Energy Balance Network. Now, according to a New York University professor, the Global Energy Balance Network is nothing but a front for Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's agenda here is very clear. Get these researchers to confuse the science and deflect the attention from dietary intake, instead putting the focus on exercise. They told people to go exercise.
Oh, her name is Marion Nestle, by the way. That wasn't from the Nestle Corporation.
Good point. That's amazing.
Yeah, Nestle.
Who knows? She might be in big Nestle's pocket. The second, soda-funded studies are more likely to report no link between soda and obesity. In fact, they're 5 times more likely to do so, but there's research that is free from being funded that comes out in the opposite. There's one called the Circulation Study. Circulation researchers attributed 184,000 deaths worldwide each year to diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer from sugar-sweetened beverages. The third one is candy companies that research their own products. According to research backed by a trade association that represents Butterfingers, Hershey's, Skittles, children who ate candy tended to be thinner than those who didn't. Convenient, right? Like candy company said
you're convenient.
Yeah. And finally, Palm Wonderful came under fire from the FTC. There's 32 grams of sugar for every 8 ounces of Palm Wonderful you drink. And in fact, according to this article, Palm spent $34 million to fund pomegranate juice research and then spun the results to make the juice look like it prevented the disease. The FTC filed a complaint against the company for deceptive and misleading advertising in 2010. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising.
No.
No, because a lot of these researchers, they need funding, right? Where is this funding going to come from? I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying the whole setup is already crooked or already posed to be crooked. According to Marion Nestle, or I hope it's not Nestle, who you quoted earlier, she's from NYU. She spent a year tracking industry-funded research studies, food studies. And she found that about 90% of the 170 companies she monitored, the researchers ended up making very favorable diagnoses or results toward these companies. So, for instance, there's one from Welch's Grape that found that juice may boost brain function. Convenient, right? And Quaker Oats, a study funded by Quaker Oats found that if you eat a breakfast full of hot oatmeal, you're going to be fuller longer.
Yeah, because you're full of oatmeal.
Because you're full
what
of oatmeal.
What does fuller longer mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But Coca-Cola did report $132.8 million towards scientific research and partnerships.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. I mean, my take on it is in the broader perspective. It's like history loves to remind us how well there's money to be paid and money to be made. People will be willing to take it and screw over the majority. Like it's, by the way, it's funny because I was mentioning on All Star Tuesday that I was watching a documentary into how Ivy League professors are coincidentally like to take some money under the table in order to provide the most amount of bullshit possibly for our observation and our absorption, should I say. Like, I remember when you have Professor Frederick Mishkin, who was the professor at Columbia, who, of course, had the infamous article about how the Icelandic economy is so stable. It's the most stable thing out there. Go ahead, put your money in it. It's no problem. And then, of course, once it crashed, it emerged onto Matt Damon's documentary and how he was involved and took around $125,000 to write that article. So it's not surprising, as you mentioned, Brett, and it's not surprising that it happened back in the 60s. People will learn the tricks of the trade from there and continuously push it forward. Why we have the Cultural High, which is another great documentary I advise checking out on Netflix, and how certain pharmaceutical companies will consistently pay in order for researchers to talk about how marijuana is going to hinder your health. It's worse for you than drugs and alcohol and other forms of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes, so that we don't legalize it, so that they can continue to make their profits from the things that we're going to go out and buy legally.
Yeah, we did a video on the Pop Trigger channel about what happens to your body right after you drink Coca-Cola. And it is shocking to me how these people try to make it seem like diet has a far smaller influence on how you feel and your body and, you know, certain fat aggregation than exercise. Yes, you should have a combination of diet and exercise, but if you ask any personal trainer, they say, listen, you should stop drinking soda.
Yeah.
Because what happens is your liver's job is to take it all the sugar that comes in, and as much as it can, it will give you energy, but what it can't make into energy fast enough, it turns into fat. And you go, I remember I met some people who were, you know, from these European folks who were like, when we think of an American, we think of a giant person with a soda
giant
this
Coke.
Big.
Yeah.
And you see us walking around, and yeah, that's exact. I mean, that makes sense. We have the big gulp, the super big gulp. The gulp is already too big.
And you've got to find ways to supersize it. And that's the first thing that struck me as soon as I stepped foot in America. The first thing I did when I got off the plane is I was with some college teammates, and they were like, let's go and grab some food. And I remember I went to, I think it was Taco Bell at the time, and I just asked for a medium drink. And what came out could have quenched my thirst for weeks. It
yeah.
was humongous. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, the movies aren't wrong. They're telling the truth, because we watch all the movies in America back home, and we're like, this surely doesn't happen. There's no way someone gets a super-sized meal.
Well, that's it.
Well,
so,
yeah. I mean, the problem, like I said off the top, it doesn't... There's a problem with how are scientists going to get research money? They
right.
need it. Where are they going to get it? And they have these private organizations. It's kind of like the problem that sometimes we talk about with, I guess, influencers or so-called journalists, which is... You know, if I need to get paid, how am I going to get paid? And then I'm just not going to disclose all these things. Luckily, in 1984, there was a law passed that said you do have to disclose conflicts of interest, but it's still not really stemming the problem because we have someone going in, you know, Coca-Cola's shell company that
right.
is hiding them, basically.
Right.
So you still have to be vigilant.
Coca-Cola tastes good. That's a truth. But they are also have paid in the past, and other companies have paid in the past to make it so seem like it's not bad for you, when it really is. So as with anything, it's on you now that you know that some of the research that has come out has been biased by corporations and money. It's now on you to go find out the real story, and we try to provide that for you here. All right, moving on. Oh, guys. I don't know why I like this story so much, but I do. A mother and son face charges on adultery because the mom had sex with her son. Let's look at him, shall we? This is Melissa Nell Kitchens, 44 of Weaverville. Warrants allege that she engaged in sex sometime last month with her son. Here he is, Sean Thomas Pfeiffer.
He looks like he could be your brother.
Now, my brother?
Yeah.
Racist.
What? The top part, the brow?
What, you're saying?
I see it.
No, I get it. We're just the scruff. He has too much testosterone in his body. You can tell by his brow. I don't have that. I have, like, dainty lady face. Anyhow, and each hair was placed here by someone. All right, so if they are convicted, they face up to 3 years in jail. Now, Sean, the son... was previously arrested on August 28th on various charges, including liberties with a child stemming from an incident that took place on August 13th. So he, the son who had sex with the mother, was arrested for taking liberties with a child, which is a level 5 felony. This is not the only incest story in the news. Let's take a look at this other lovely couple, Patricia and Misty Spahn. They were arrested for incest in Oklahoma a little while ago. They both love Superman, like mother, like daughter, and they got married, and so they're related by blood in a court, and then you can't marry your kid. That is, even if you don't engage in sex, you can't marry your kid in Oklahoma, because that is considered incest. So there's a story that's worth clicking on. What do you guys think?
Well, incest is almost universally illegal, actually. It depends state by state difference, like is a marriage illegal? Is sexual penetration illegal? There's reasons for it. I mean, there are a lot of the incest taboo relies on not wanting inbred children.
Yeah.
But even in cases where you can't have children, a lot of affinity relationships, like your step parent, your adoptive parent, that's also covered by incest laws because there is a social aspect there. It's not just a biological thing.
What's wrong with it? Like, what's so wrong with it? It's gross, yes. But some people say, listen, gay sex is gross. Make it illegal. What's wrong with letting these two consenting adults?
I mean, when it comes to two family members having sex, if they go to have babies, there's a very high chance of deformity, which can happen through incest.
What if they're not having a baby? What if they engage in sex?
It's covered that way because there is a social aspect of this person is my parental figure. This parent... person is my child. It completely, psychologically, there's a damage there.
What if they reunite later on down the line? Mm-hmm. By the way, this woman reunited with her child, Misty Spawn. They hit it off, it says in the article, and they got married. They're not going to have a kid. Biologically, they're both female. Mm-hmm. So why do I give a crap as the state of Oklahoma? Why do I care? I query that. What do you think?
I mean, you make a compelling point to try and break through the initial wall that is up. And by the way, the point you make about how, like, if you're talking 20, 30 years ago about gay relations, is the same probably mind frame that people would have at that point, right? But it's hard to try and fathom a reasonable explanation for family members sharing the exact same blood, who emerged from the same family line, in engaging in sexual relations. Because it's not, again, I understand the thought process of in relating it to issues that have been frowned upon. But I will never stand by the instance of breaking up a family mold through sexual relations. Like you, as you said, there's going to be people that are going to be discarded from their family because they like to, if perhaps that family isn't welcoming to gay relations and it doesn't stand by their religious values or their thought values. But it's not of the same destruction that would cause if family relations were starting to have with each other. You're going to raise
all I'm saying is these sound like the exact same arguments about what a family should stand for and what it should look like.
I don't think homosexuality is the same as incest. It's not a black and white picture.
I don't think you're making that that assumption. I think you're talking about the way that we are trying to wrap our head around why it's not. Why this is not acceptable in comparison to one thing's acceptable in society.
There was a study in Iceland. Now, we just talked in the previous video about how studies from Iceland you should not necessarily trust.
When they're written by Americans.
Well, there was a study in Iceland that said maybe the best compatibility genetically is between third cousins.
But Iceland's also a country where they have issues with, there's apps actually to determine if someone that you've met is your biological, like your cousin.
And that's why they did this study. They're like, well, how compatible is too, or how close is too close versus what's far away enough? And they said that it's possible. They concluded that third cousins was the right amount of distance between relatives where you won't have the inbreeding effects adversely, and you won't be so far away genetically that certain, you know, that you are compatible, that you can have. There's no, like, rejection of
kissing
whatever.
Cousins are different than mother-child.
Than
parent-child.
Humping babies.
There's nothing, I would argue the case that there's nothing more humane in this world, like, for the love that you have for a family member, right? Whether it's you're raised by your mom, that is what I think in this world that a lot of people hold strongest values when it comes to two people connecting with each other. Mm-hmm. That's not sexually. That's just simply because one loves sharing a love with another. And again, I understand that when you come to these same thought processes of people 20, 30 years ago, and still now, we're like, no, but a man should love a woman, and a right. woman should love a man. But it's the argument, as far as I'm aware, is never the thought process like a mom should be allowed to love her son.
Definitely the same things that apply when it comes to pedophilia. Like, yes, you're the mother. You knew that when it was a baby. And so you shouldn't be having sex definitely with your underage baby. I think the reason legally is because, like, if you're having sex with your kid when they're 25 and you're 44 or whatever, like, we're going to arrest you because there was probably something really terrible happening when that kid was younger, especially if your kid is arrested for, you know, illicit activities with a minor. Yeah. Like, I think that's more the legal argument. And it took me forever to figure out how is this different from telling gay people they can't have sex and get married?
I think it's exceedingly different from telling gay people they can't have sex and
get
married.
But from a legal perspective.
Yeah, that's...
It's very weird. It's like, oh God, it seems wrong, but why?
Well, I can scratch Buncombe County, North Carolina, and Stevens County, Oklahoma, over my list to hit in the United States. They won't be on my road trip travels.
Awesome.
All right, tourism money.
All right, syntax. It's not just something in grammar. It is the kind of tax levied against things that are considered sins or For example, alcohol and cigarettes. Now, in this case, there's a new syntax that's going into effect in Australia that will bring the price of cigarettes up to $40 a pack in Australia. So let's go to this. Smokers will soon be slugged $40 for a packet of cigarettes. The excise tax will be increased by 12.5% each year to 2020. The Senate sparked calls for a rethink of Australia's ban on nicotine e-cigarettes, with Liberal backbencher James Patterson arguing the healthy alternative should be available. So the prices are getting so high, e-cigarettes are illegal there. Mm-hmm. They're saying, like, maybe we should open it up to be legal, because $40 is a whole lot to pay for cigarettes. Mm-hmm.
Is that for one pack?
For one pack is what it said. $40, according to news.com.au, which is like, oh, dang. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Well, I get that, yes, smoking is definitely detrimental to health.
Yes.
But is this aimed at stopping kids from smoking, or is this aimed at punishing lifelong smokers?
The idea of this, again, right, on paper, any sort of movement that you want to try and rid the world from cigarettes, I don't think this is a method in doing it. I think that if anyone, but the people that, again, if you're aimed at those that are chain smokers, they're going to find another way to buy these cigarettes. A black market is already forming. I know that there is consistent smokers who go between countries and are able to take larger packs of cigarettes. Mm. I know the people when they go through Europe, a lot of people in the United Kingdom, if they travel to Spain or they travel across Europe, it is quite a lot cheaper. And again, a lot of the time it's tax deductible, especially if they buy it in the airports. That's where you see people buy large packs of cigarettes. There will be ways to find cigarettes for cheaper. It's not going to stop. Again, you need to understand that nicotine is an addiction. And when you are addicted to something, you're going to find a way to do it. What you might pose when you start to have it being $40 is a black market grown even larger. So it's not necessarily the step I would take. I don't think, I mean, we've seen how prohibition worked out. We've seen what happens when you try to make something that is easily acquirable, harder to obtain, is that it starts to cause a lot more problems than you understand. But as you mentioned at the start, the one thing that should be taken in Australia is legalizing nicotine. Like, if you're going to have this method put forward to try and reduce cigarettes, the key to try and changing it is through education. Try to educate those that perhaps are already addicted to cigarettes early on that there's different ways you can get a nicotine intake that is perhaps more cleaner nicotine, if it's going to be through vaping, if it's going to be through e-cigarettes. These are things that Australia have been as open yet collectively, which I think could change a few perceptions.
That's a good point. I mean, people who want nicotine are going to get it no matter what.
Yep.
So all you're doing is making the situation much, much worse. And perhaps that's a smarter alternative.
Yeah. It's in 6 million people in the European Union, 6 million people in the EU have used e-cigarettes to quit smoking. Now, again, there's going to be studies that will come out. I bet my bottom dollar a couple of years where they're going to be like, oh, well, e-cigarettes, just as bad, blah. Like, yeah, there's going to be other studies.
They're already there.
And they're probably already paid for by the same people that paid the sugar companies. You know what I mean? It's the same thing that's going to happen, is when people are trying to make money from their latest product, there will be repercussions. But as far as cigarettes go, I'm going to take it at face value that they're not good for you. They never have been good for you. And I think the key to doing so is to tackling the young. Like, we see these adverts that consistently are on our TVs from the company Truth, I believe, where it's like, they try to make it hip. They're actually relating one video to cats, which is like the smartest advertising. Like, there's one thing that you watch more on YouTube than the Young Turks, hopefully, is cat videos. So why not make a video about how you're killing cats? Because secondhand smoke notoriously can kill your pets. So why not target that as well to try and make a change?
A lot of the people who've decided to smoke are aware of the health hazards and have made that decision anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how this would actually be effective with that in mind.
So, yeah, let's look at the last graphic, 22. Here in the U.S., here's our statistics per pack. And I got this from Tobacco Free Kids, which is an organization that tries to get kids to stop smoking and educate people. Here it is in the United States. The average cost per pack is $6.01. The estimated loss in productivity and health cost, which seems like the one thing that would spur us to raise the taxes and try to get money to offset any financial costs of it, is $19.16 in lost productivity and health costs. States, so there's a federal tax and a state tax. The average state tax is $1.65. If you're a state that is a major tobacco producing state, the tax is 48.5 cents. If you're in a different state, the average tax is about $1.80. The highest state tax is New York, with $4.35. It's like $16 a pack to buy cigarettes in New York. And the lowest tax is Missouri, which is a paltry 17 cents. And then Australia in 2014, $16 per pack, the cheapest that I could find online, according to International Business Times, worldwide. Pakistan, 98 cents per pack.
Wow.
98 cents.
And in Australia, I believe that cigarettes are already one of the highest taxed products that are there. So there is some sort of push towards hitting the purse strings, right? And there's going to be even more, like, further repercussions that you have to wrap your head around. Like, what about if you're in a low-income family, that the urge to buy cigarettes starts to hinder family distribution,
right,
of wealth, where people are starting not to eat because they have to try and obtain that $40 a week to try and hit cigarettes? And again, there's going to be those out there like, well, just quit. Are we going to have this discussion? Like, do we need to understand that,
right,
it becomes addictive? That means it's an addiction. You have to find ways to tackle that
if
addiction.
I'm the government, it makes sense to put a tax on it, especially if, like, demand is inelastic because people are addicted to it.
Well, then also if it reflects into, like, public health costs,
right,
as well. That's another factor. But this is not the most effective medium of getting it done.
Yeah, and Australia, I respect Australia because they just kind of step up and go, like, we're doing this now, yeah? if you look at their actions on guns, they were just like, we had a mass shooting,
oh,
and
course,
let's,
yeah,
just get rid of them. And it's worked. This seems like they're just as aggressive.
You can't, yeah, they're very proactive. I mean, again, huge fan of the way that they tackle certain issues. I just think that if they have case studies in front of them, like, again, I don't think e-cigarettes and vaping, I mean, it's going to cause the weird vape trend to go over there, and you may get, like, social, the new trends of people vaping in all different angles in Australia. I'm trying to save you guys from that. But if there are studies there that are talking about in the UK, 1.3 million ex-smokers are using an e-cigarette now, because a lot of the time, psychologically, it's just having the cigarette in your hand. There's studies there that the e-cigarette itself helps with trying to urge those urges that you have, all,
yeah,
calm those urges. So that could be a method in taking a step in that direction. I just think that $40 a cigarette, it's going to hit the purse strings. It's going to form a black market before I think you start to see any real benefit,
yeah,
from it.
That is, like, one of the central arguments against a sin tax, is that it creates a black market.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. It's 5:05.
Wow.
Goodness sakes. Time
flies.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. Tune in tomorrow because it's Wednesday, so Thursday's another show. And we'll see you.
What is that?
I forget what day of the week it is.
Because Thursday comes after Wednesday.
I just forgot what day it was for a few minutes.
The best outro, I think, I've ever heard.
You follow the Julian calendar.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Is it bye-bye? I'm going this way.